This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Go to NILGameChangers.org to begin your journey today. Yeah. Home opener tomorrow at Beaver Stadium, and the weather is improving. Yes, it will rain, but it's going to be in the morning, which, let's face it, I know you want to tailgate in the morning. That I understand. But for those on a late summer afternoon, no rain scheduled for the game, and even better, beyond that is no rain as you hang in the parking lot after the game.
My daughter is praying that forecast holds up, because they, I guess, the yard sales are at Penn's Cave tomorrow, and she's looking forward to that.
Oh, good. Good. I love it. That's great.
And whoever let the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy, we need to have a discussion.
Yeah, that would be Buffalo.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are like, how did he possibly drop? Well, you know, it depends on what your need is.
Yeah.
I'm the New York Jets, and I'm drafting at 11. I need a left tackle. I draft Olu Fashanu. I already drafted, right, Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, right? So it always depends on what your need happens to be. And everybody knew for Kansas City, getting some speed at wide receiver was a need. And Worthy, of course, fell to that spot, and Brett Veach, being the quality general manager that he is, jumped on it.
To quote Spaceballs, that's ludicrous speed.
Yeah, I mean, he is. but remember, Ross from Washington ran that 4.2 40, and he never really could get any traction in the NFL. Okay,
wasn't he? He was trying to make the Eagles this offseason or this preseason, wasn't he?
Yeah, could never get traction. Yeah. Now Worthy. You know, the pass game, really good one at Texas with Quinn Ewers at quarterback. And I think that helps when somebody is from that kind of passing game. Shows that he can get it done in a passing game like that. And having Mahomes makes a big difference. And look, it's in, like, for example, like, let's take wide receiver, the other receivers in the draft. Well, with all due respect to Worthy, I take Harrison before him. Okay, just based on body of work. Do I take Rome Odunze? Yeah. What about Neighbors? Yeah. I can see why the teams that pick their guy. Cardinals took Harrison, Giants took Neighbors, Bears took Odunze. Oh, I can understand why they took him. Right?
My thing was fit. I don't think any of the. I mean, I think they would have picked every one of those guys over Xavier Worthy if he's there. But yeah. I don't know, man. That's just from what they needed last year to what he gives them. I don't know if they could have done better at the part of the draft that they were drafting in.
Right. And for them, they're hoping he is their Tyreek Hill. Okay? They're hoping he is their Tyreek Hill. Hey, fair enough. I understand that. Eagles and Packers tonight in Brazil. By the way, if you're wondering, I think you were seeing last on NBC, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock. The game is not kicking off at 7 o'clock. Peacock's coverage of the game begins at 7 o'clock. The game kicks off at 8:15. Okay? So just in case you were wondering, like at 7 o'clock, no. The game is not at 7 o'clock. The game is at 8:15 tonight. So, and it's only on Peacock. Can't find it anywhere else. Yeah, and I do know that, like, all right, this will be something that I will I know this is going to be the broken record part of it, but I'll say it in a few moments. The Chiefs and Ravens game last night, and over again Ronnie Stanley was called for being in the backfield. He was hit three times for illegal formation. Okay. Look, Ravens fans can question this all they want. Number one, he was lining up in the backfield. I mean, it was pretty obvious. Just like Taylor, for example, was pulling the Lane Johnson at right tackle. Johnson leaves early at least a third of the time. Sorry, Eagle fans, it's just a fact, okay? Oh, no, no, because Lane Johnson knows he's not as good or as quick as he used to be, so he leaves early. Got it. Oh, he's an all-pro. Just please. He's leaving early. Well, Taylor, the right tackle for the Chiefs, also leaves early. Now, was he flagged for it? No, he should have been a couple times. And then there's Stanley. He's clearly lining up in the backfield. This is a point of emphasis this year. My question is, did Stanley play in the preseason? The preseason, if people play, is where they null out the points of emphasis. Where you can call him for illegal formation three times in a preseason game, and guess what? The result of the game means nothing, as opposed to getting called for it three times in this game. And the bottom line is, he was lining up further back because, look, he's not good enough to line up straight across the line to take care of Karlaftis. Not. Sorry, just not. He knows it. That's why he's lining up further back. And when you do that, you're also tipping plays. I mean, why is he lined up in that way, and how come he doesn't line up that way in a running play? Oh, didn't think of that, did you? No. John Harbaugh said teams were informed that illegal formation was going to be a point of emphasis this season. All right. Well, they got flagged five times for it last night. And all you have to do is, with your eyes, look at it. He's lining up illegally. So now we will turn our attention. Every company has a suggestion box. And, of course, it's just filled with negative stuff. Our suggestion box is Matt Cotrillo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still laughing at Florida State. I'm just taking a break from that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they've got a problem.
But let me tell you something. They had problems before this embarrassing 0-2 start. But, yeah, man, oh, man. Are they kicking themselves now?
Well, It shows me, and as I brought this up with Wes Durham yesterday about the importance of Jordan Travis. I mean, they wanted to run him out on a rail 2 years ago. Then all of a sudden, it's like, hey, maybe the guy's not so bad. And then now you see when he's not in the lineup, it's a big problem.
That seems to be the culture now of Florida State.
Well, but go back to last season, though. Their defense with Jared Verse and those guys was good enough to hold them in some games, and they won. But they were low. They couldn't get any offense going. I mean, without Verse. You know, so actually go back to last season. That's where it started to show, and probably what we should. And look, and DJ, a lot of hype, but not a lot of production in his career.
Preaching to the choir, Steve Jones.
In his career, I mean, we have a full body of work now at three stops, so. There has to be. People are wondering when you're going to get on your hate roll here.
Oh, I'm fully loaded, ready to go. I'm going to stay with college football since we started on this topic, and I'm going to go to the embarrassing and atrocious set of replays that we saw last week. Of course, in the Penn State game, and then also in the Notre Dame game, where it's pretty much the exact same scenario. It's fourth and short. A team clearly gets a first down. And then the forward progress is pushed back, but the ball clearly crosses the line to gain, and it takes 5 hours to make a ruling, and then they still get the ruling wrong. And it was a big effect on the game at that time, but luckily for both sets of officials, it didn't affect the outcome because both teams that it went against won. I mean, you and I have talked about this before. We've had this conversation many times where the replays are absolutely way too long. We've talked about that before. And then, but at least in most cases, you're getting the calls right. But now, we can't even get the simplest calls right just as to who got a first down when it's fourth and a yard or less than a yard. Yeah. Besides everything that's going on with NIL and the transfer portal, this is the second next thing, biggest thing that the NCAA has to start trying to police a little bit and trying to address. Because this can't keep going on. We have replays that take entirely too long, that take place entirely too often, and then we're finally getting to a call, and we can't even make the simplest calls as to who converted on the third or fourth and one. I mean, both sets of calls last week were absolutely atrocious.
Well, it's the NCAA has nothing to do with this. This is a conference issue.
Oh, yeah, the conferences, yes. I'm sorry.
Those were Big 12 conference officials, which was also Big 12 conference replay. My issue over the years has been with replay because, look, you need to, you know, in the desire to get it right, we're looking at too many fingernails and things like that to see if a ball was touched. And when it's like, you know, you should be able to figure out in 30 to 45 seconds. And like last week's game, those big lines that go across the field, like one's a goal line, one's the 30-yard line. If the first down has to be made at the 29 and the guy lands with the ball on the 30-yard line, he's short. I mean, for some reason, they are not bringing common sense to the table when they are doing replays.
Yeah, absolutely not. When it's that clear in both games, and it just so happened that it happened to be in two of the biggest games of the day, so that was a bad look for college football on what else was a really terrific opening weekend, of course.
Yeah, it was a good opening weekend, no doubt. So what else is running through that mind of yours that only you can think of?
Well, now we get back to tonight's game in Brazil. Now, we've already had part of this conversation before, but to me, the NFL just continues to look worse and worse with the more that we've seen now that both teams are down there. Of course, there's the crime rate, which is just being brought into light now, but I don't know why it wasn't brought into light then when the game was first announced, because now it's a little bit too late to force the NFL to make changes because, well, the game's tonight and the teams already got down there. I just don't understand that logic that all of a sudden we're concerned about the crime rate. Oh, maybe you should have thought of that in the first place when you put the game down there and you take a home game away from the Philadelphia Eagles fan base. Secondly, the uniforms. All right, we weren't totally sure. I wasn't totally sure, I guess, if this whole green, not wearing the green thing because it's the rival of the Corinthians down there. Well, I guess the Eagles did, but got the memo, but the Packers didn't. Now, the Eagles, of course, kind of dilly-dallied around the question and said they just wanted to show off the new uniform combination, which I call complete BS on. It's the black, the third black helmet with the white jersey and the alternate black pants the Eagles have, and then the Packers are going to be their normal green and gold.
Good.
So,
good for them. Good. Good, good, good for them. No, good for them. Guess what? It's the National Football League. You wear your uniform. Good for Green Bay. I really do not care, right, about what they think down there about the color combination. Okay, this is
the National. I'm just worried about the safety because if fans get stupid down there, then what do you do, NFL?
This is the National United States Football League. You wear what you wear. Okay, you don't like it? Tough. Bring more security.
And it seems like that's what they're going to do. But my point in all this is we shouldn't even have to get to this point. Roger Goodell should have noticed right away that maybe this is not such a good idea to bring the game to Brazil, who can't even handle their own soccer league for once, and maybe put it someplace else. Or how about the logic, keeping it Philadelphia, where we would have had a terrific opening game atmosphere, just like last night in Kansas City. You could have had it on a Friday night. You could have done the dumb peacock thing. But you still would have had a terrific atmosphere at the link. But instead, we got to bring it to stinking Brazil. It's like, again, watching somebody fall down the stairs with the way all this has been handled. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen pictures from outside the stadium, Steve, but the place outside the stadium looks like a dump. It looks like it's somewhere like in Harlem or something. And the inside of the stadium looks okay. I mean, it's still small. It's only going to be 50,000 compared to probably 71,000 with standing room only at the link. But outside the place is an absolute dump. And you want to put an NFL game there, an opening NFL game there? I just don't get it. And then, of course, there were several Eagles this week that clearly showed their displeasure of having to play down there. And again, I'm asking this too. Where was this when they first announced the game? It's a little late to be complaining about it now. Sure, I'm with you. But where was this several months ago when this was announced that maybe we don't want to go down there? Maybe this isn't such a good idea. Well, I don't want to just be in my hotel room because it's not safe and this and that. And we had a whole meeting about don'ts. It's usually do's and don'ts, but this was just don'ts. The whole player safety thing, and we shouldn't be playing a game where you have to have that kind of conversation.
Yeah, but I wouldn't complain about what the players think about this right now. When the game was announced, the players probably didn't know much at all about Sao Paulo, right? At that point, when the game was announced, they didn't hand them a sheet with all the don'ts. I mean, when it comes to the players, this is a learning process for them too as to what the heck's going on down there. It's like, we're going to go to Brazil? All right, well, now they're finding out what it means to go down there, and that's why they've been complaining about it. Then, of course, the second they complain about it, they have to put out the apologetic tweet about, I didn't mean to, please. It's okay to be honest.
And that wasn't even necessary. I mean, because they're right. Darius Slay's right. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is right. I wouldn't want to go play down there, and I shouldn't have to apologize for not wanting to play down there because the place that they're going to is a dump and full of crime. I would have done the exact same thing. But so I will say this, that yeah, probably my criticism of the players and all that, knowing
the game,
this is probably hindsight 2020. But I think the players need to use this though as a learning point that once these games get announced that it's overseas, maybe you should look up what the actual makeup is of the area you're going to be playing in and see if you actually want to go or not, and then complain to your boss, hey, I don't think this is a good idea for us to go.
Well, guess what? You're still going to go no matter what. I mean,
most likely, yeah, but I still think it'd be better for them to voice their concerns about it once the game is announced and they do a little extra research on their part. They shouldn't have to do this, but I think it's a learning curve for everybody who gets wrapped into playing these dumb international games to maybe do a little extra research on their part and then say, hey, maybe this is not such a good idea because of the crime rate or whatever the situation is, whatever country they're going to go play in.
I thought you said the game wasn't in Philadelphia.
No, it's not. They would have been better off playing the game at the Vet. The Vet looked better than the way this was, than the way this stadium looks tonight.
How are we doing, Todd?
Doing great.
How's he doing? He's doing all right?
He's doing all right.
But then again, this all doesn't really matter anyway because I have my own duty calls tonight because Friday night is for high school football. So by the time I have a second to probably look at the game, it'll probably be either at halftime or sometime in the fourth quarter. It depends on how things go tonight at Shibokan. We're doing Shikolebi Shibokan tonight. So it is what it is there.
Hmm. About that.
It's a quarter after eight kick. You'll be fine.
Yeah, it's an 8:15 kick.
True. If the game ends, you know, sometime between 9 and 9:30, then we got to pack up. We got to do post game. We got to pack up and do all the stuff, drive the equipment back to our office, and then get home. It's gonna be like the fourth quarter. But I can obviously I have NFL Plus at least, so I can at least have the game on my phone while I'm in the midst of packing up from Kent Memorial Stadium tonight. So that's probably gonna be the strategy for me tonight.
Yeah, while you're driving.
Just to listen, not to watch. Just to listen to the broadcast.
Ooh, boy. You're on a roll today.
And by the way, I do like the Packers tonight. I don't like the Eagles in this spot at all.
Also, the Packers haven't complained once.
Good for them.
Just thought I'd point it out. I think the Packers, by the way, may have a 2-hour commute to the game.
They do.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai. North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Plaza House Furniture's end of summer clearance sale is here, and you can save 10 to 50% store-wide at Plaza House. All Lazy Boy recliners are marked down, and discontinued King Sound mattress sets are 50% off. Stop in Plaza House and discover a huge selection of Ashley living room sets, bedrooms, dining rooms, all marked down. Plus, all motion and power living rooms are clearance price, and we have over 30 styles of power lift chairs on display and marked down. Shop now and save during the end of summer clearance sale at Plaza House Furniture in Sealings Grove and Bloomsburg. Visit anytime at plazahouse.com.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
He was on a roll today. Don't you think?
I like that he thinks that they can go against their bosses.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to go. Really? Ever hear being cut?
I was going to say, cool. We'll cut you.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. This half hour, by the way, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. I mean, since they're going to a tough area, let's talk about insurance. No. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. So, yeah. So let's get into what he was talking about. There are two elements to this where you have to know who you are and you have to know what got you there. And the National Football League has been able to achieve the heights that it has beyond players that play it well, it's entertaining and so forth, but you have to be able to have two elements that get people hooked on it. Number one, you have to have fans. Number two, it turns out in the NFL's case, they did a great job, especially starting in the late 50s and into the 60s, of cultivating the game on TV on multiple networks, where anybody can sit down, put their feet up, and they have access to finding the game. Last night's game, for example, was on NBC. It was also on Peacock last night, but that's the right way to do it. That's the combination that, when CBS puts a game on CBS and Paramount Plus, that, in other words, you're taking care of the streaming audience and you're taking care of the over-the-air audience. So with this game, A, it's a regular season game. B, they've taken a home game away from Philadelphia. Eagles fans have earned the ninth home game by their incredible loyalty and dedication. Win or lose, Eagles fans are there. And if Green Bay had lost the home game, it'd be the same thing. Green Bay's fans are loyal, dedicated beyond words as well. Right? And number three in all this is the fact that it's on Peacock tonight. Now, what's going to happen is this. On Monday morning, the NFL and NBC will put out a press release. They will proclaim this the most watched NFL regular season game on streaming and on Peacock. Right? That's what they're going to do. And it's all part of it, where you just sit back and go, really? Really? Like, come on. Hey, you're cutting off a big percentage of the audience by doing this. Now, in the Olympics, I can understand the Olympics. You've got 30-something events, 30-something different sports. So, yeah, you need to, you can put it on CNBC, put it on USA, put it on NBC. Oh, and by the way, we're going to shove some stuff over to Peacock. It's an extra outlet. You don't have to pick it up, but it's an extra outlet. My understanding is the sound quality last night on the game on Peacock was poor. Now, somebody asked me about, hey, where did you watch the game? And I said, I watched it on NBC last night. They said, do you have a problem with sound? I said, no. He says, oh. So I was watching on my computer. He says, the sound was awful. He says, and there was a long list of complaints about it. evidently in the comments section, about how bad the sound was last night. Well, tonight's exclusively on Peacock. Now, will I watch the game? Yeah, I'll watch the game. I mean, Todd, you got a game to cover, right?
Yeah, I'll be up at Jersey Shore. I won't even be able to probably stream it on my phone in Jersey Shore. That is a dead spot.
Oh, God, you sound like the suit. His is more personal.
I was going to say, compared to him, I'm beloved in Jersey Shore.
Boy, you got that right. Man, alive. I mean, there are people at Allenwood more beloved than the suit up there. So they're taking two things that have been critical to their success, and like the playoff game between the Chiefs and the Dolphins, they're trying to ramrod something down people's throats here. And then they will proclaim success. Well, if you have any common sense, the Chiefs-Dolphins game did draw 23 million viewers on Peacock, right? Okay, that's a record, the whole deal. But common sense tells you they probably lost 15 to 20 million potential viewers who didn't watch the game. Is that a success? Yet nobody wants to ask that question. Why don't we ask questions anymore? We don't ask questions. Excuse me, I don't understand. Why do you consider this as... to Roger Goodell... I looked at the ratings of the other games that weekend, and you potentially lost between 15 and 20 million viewers in prime time that decided not to get Peacock. Right? Do you need to... why do you consider it a success if you lost that many viewers by doing it this way, by forcing people to do it this way? Now, he'd give some BS answer. Whatever. That's his prerogative. Give any answer he wants. But at least ask the question. Why do you consider it a success when 15 to 20 million potential viewers decided not to watch your product because you decided that streaming was more important than over-the-air TV? It's a fair question, I think. It's the same story tonight. Eagles and Packers tonight, you put that game on over-the-air TV, ratings like last night's Chiefs-Ravens game, ratings would be astronomical tonight. Plus, you're putting it on a Friday night opposite high school football across America. Really?
They probably care even less about that than they do about the streaming.
I know. No. Believe me, you are not incorrect. You're not incorrect about that. That's why I just find the whole thing, what they're doing with this game tonight, and from day one I've been saying this, so I'm not, I'm not saying anything that we haven't already said. But there are two elements that built your league to make it the juggernaut that it is today, and you're backhanding both elements. The fans of this country and TV. You are the success you are because of those two elements. And you are backhanding both of them in one fell swoop. Oh, well.
I was going to say, at least for this one, I'm guessing NBC wanted this on Peacock.
Why?
Got to build the brand, my man.
Yeah, but people drop it.
Hey.
I mean, during the pandemic, what was the hottest network going? Everybody had to get Netflix. How many people are watching Netflix now? Not the same number. People dropped it. Now, Christmas, they'll bring it back. And yes, I freely admit I probably will get Netflix to watch the two games just to put my feet up and watch some football. But, yeah, I don't know. Take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student-athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student-athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
When it comes to sports, speed is everything. From an 80-yard TD to sinking a buzzer-beating basket, seconds can make all the difference. At Pentella Data, speed is what we do. Our broadband fiber supports healthcare, retail, wireless phone, and yes, even high school and college sports all rely on us for the fastest digital connections. When the game is on the line, customers score big with Pentella Data, your hometown provider. Proud to support our hometown teams.
Yeah, I don't want to be a broken record about it. Just when I see an entity where you know what some of the keys to success happen to be, and you're like, okay, then you don't get it. In other words, I'm talking about, like, they don't get it. And that's what, I mean, when you're sitting there and you're looking at it and you're like, okay, that's where I'm like, I sit there and go, okay, really? You're not being true to who you are. Yeah. They evidently feel they can get away with anything they want. When you start thinking that, you have a big problem.
Did you catch that Roger Goodell said on CNBC this morning that they're going to play at least 7 international games next year?
Yeah. You know what?
Right.
That's their prerogative. They want to do it. I mean, when you get to 18 games, you know, what are some teams going to play 9 home games? And some that are entitled to 9 are only going to play 8?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. That's just me. I'm just not. I don't know.
I mean, it's 14 teams that have to make a trip, and the rest of them don't, too.
Yeah, I know. But it's also fan bases that don't get a chance to buy tickets to see their team play. See, to me, it's the combination tonight of Brazil and Peacock. Okay? This isn't just one thing that I have a problem with. It's two rolled into one. And it's two of the biggest reasons why the NFL is the juggernaut they are today. You can talk about the owners. You can talk about, oh, the players, the whole thing. Guess what? You can have the same players and nobody wants to watch or gets turned off by it. Remember when they were having problems and viewership dropped 7%? Remember that? And there were a lot of empty seats in stadiums? Remember that? I do. Viewership dropped 7%. when people were having their doubts about the league. And they made changes. You need to understand who you are and what got you here. And the NFL doesn't do that. They don't do that. And that's, I mean, they think that for some reason the NFL thinks there's some sort of international brand. You know, you're going over into Europe, for example. And, you know, now this game's in South America. I mean, look, those are like die-in-the-wool soccer fans. Okay? And I think NFL football's intriguing to them. Basketball's probably more popular. I don't know. I see a lot of problems with this, but hey, that's their issue.
I think the next step is probably India or China. I think these sports leagues look and see all those people that live in India and China that don't have a favorite NFL team or a favorite NBA team. Well, the Chinese probably do at this point, but you know, they see that as the great untapped market now, I assume.
Well, this is why you have preseason games, Todd. Play a preseason game over there. Have them practice over there for a week and the whole deal. People get to be around it. Open up the practices. Let people in. Play the preseason game. Hey, this is really cool. You know, that's why you have the preseason. Use it for that. Don't use regular season games. I mean, that's just... Maybe people think I'm wrong about this.
I think the only issue with it now is the cat's out of the bag. I don't know how you play all these regular season games and then go to some other country and say, hey, you're only getting a preseason game now. But I think the practice part would be cool, too. So,
you know, it's like, no offense, I thought the Phillies and the Mets, I thought that was wrong. I mean, baseball in England, Phillies give up a home game, Mets give up a home game. Come on. That's a backslap to Phillies fans and the Mets fans. They go. The Phillies and Mets fans go out every day and get into their ballparks to watch them play over and over and over again. Oh, it's just one game. Talking about each team giving up a home game. Ah, it's just one home game. That's your attitude? I thought they were all valuable. I thought your fans were valuable.
I think we've said this before. It's a little easier to talk in 80 instead of 81 than it is 9 instead of 8 as well.
It is, but I don't agree with Major League Baseball doing it. That's why you have spring training. Send some spring training games over there. All right? Play like a 3-game spring training series. Open it up for the fans to see the workouts for free, and then play the game. Play the games. I mean, that's why you have spring training. The fan of this country is invaluable. When you start taking the people of this country for granted, when you start acting as if they're a means to an end and not critical to who you are, that's a problem for any entity, corporation, whatever. And I'm concerned the NFL's warping in that direction, that they're treating the fans here as a means to an end, and they're taking them for granted. They'll be there no matter what. Okay. Glad you think that way. Anytime you think an entity, people, are a means to an end, that's bad news. Any time that you take for granted people that are your consumer or whatever they're supposed to be, right? Yeah. I mean, I know in a small way, people have asked me, why do I do a dozen speaking engagements in the off season? Because I'm asked to do it. People have asked me to do it, and I don't want the fans to be taken for granted. Since they asked, I'll do it. And I've been going all over the place. Florida, South Carolina, Ohio, New England. Right? Because you don't want to take them for granted. In other words, you know, and I tell each one at every stop how important they are. Because I genuinely feel that way. How important is the NFL telling the fans in Philadelphia and Green Bay how important they are, and how much are they telling the American sports lover how important they are by making them pay extra money to watch this game tonight instead of the package they already have? Which, by the way, they already had to begin with anyway because of the 10-year TV deals they have. Why? Like, why do you have to pay extra money for this game tonight because you're an Eagles and Packers fan?
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.